Hi, this is the podcast English Sermons from a Brazilian Preacher. I hope it can help you have perspective and see God is moving in your life. Join the feed and don't forget to listen to the other sermons. Thank you. Hey guys, hope you're doing well. Hope you had a nice week. This is one more episode of English Sermons from a Brazilian Preacher. My name is Alan, and I'm here today to share the Word of God with you again, okay? Today's topic is a very interesting topic because this is one of my favorite sermons ever preached in Portuguese. One of my favorite sermons that I have preached, you know. The name is, you have already seen on the title of this podcast, is Living Tide, and I want to go straight to the point and invite you to open your Bible, okay? So open your Bible in the book of Mark, the chapter 14 and verse 32. We're gonna read from 32 to 37. If you have already opened your Bible, let me just read here and you can follow me, okay? Mark chapter 14 verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour?" That's where we stop in this passage, where Jesus is in Gethsemane, living probably his most tense moments because he knew what would happen to him. He knew his way to the cross. He knew everything that was about to happen to him. And this made him feel so anxious and so hurtful that he asked God, he asked the Father to take this cup away from him, you know? So we're talking about a God that suffered, you know? We're talking about a God that didn't want to suffer because the pain in his heart, the anxiety in his heart was so strong that he didn't want to face what was to come, right? Let me just start talking to you about a movie. This was my father's favorite movie, you know. For you guys who don't know me personally, my father, he died. He passed away in 2005, you know. This is 16 years ago. And including today, the day I'm recording this sermon here is August 25th, and this is the day that that my father and I baptized together in 2004, right? And in August 27th of 2005, my father died. And he had a favorite movie. His favorite movie was Castaway, Tom Hanks movie. If you have watched this movie, you know what I'm talking about. And in this movie, Bruce, the character of Tom Hanks in this movie, he's a workaholic guy, and his plane crashes in an island, and he is isolated for years in an island. And if you watch the movie, you will understand everything that he passed. But I need to spoil you a little bit to preach now, okay? Because Bruce, he stays in the island for years. And one day, he is sitting on the shore in the beach, and the tide rises, you know? When the tide rises, a door comes with the water. And he looks at this door for a long time. He puts this door in the sand, and he stares at this door, and he stares at the wind breaking in this door for a long time. And then he realizes that this door could be a sail for a boat. So he builds a boat, and he uses this door as a sail, and he escapes the island. You know, when he comes back to the society, to civilization, he finds his best friend, and his best friend talks to him, and he says, "Well, Bruce, you've lost everything, right? You've lost your job, you've lost everything you had, you've lost your fiance, you know, because she thought you had died, and she moved on, and when she moved on, she married, and she has kids now. You don't have even your name anymore. You need to prove you're alive." So Bruce tells his friend everything that he passed on this island for a long time. And he tells his friend that he tried to suicide in the first days in the island. But not even that he could do. And he tells all of this story to his friend. And he says that one day the tide rose and brought him a door. And he used this door as a sail. So he finishes telling his friend that what he's gonna do now is the same thing that he did in the island. Keep breathing. And he says that, "I'll keep breathing because tomorrow the sun will rise. Who knows what the tide could bring?" And I don't know if my father watched this movie because of this specific moment, but I remember that when I watched this movie for the first time, there were 2 years since my father had died, and wow, this scene beat me, you know? Because I was in a severe depression, and when I listened to that, "Keep breathing, because tomorrow the sun will rise. Who knows what the tide could bring?" This hit me so much, you know, and made me strong and made me keep breathing. And that makes me think of how we as a church can change our habits, you know, because when I watch this movie and I remember this movie and when I read this passage of the Bible that we have just read, I just wonder of how many people are out there. People who don't know Jesus. People who don't know God. And they are out there sitting in the beach waiting for the tide to rise and bring them something. You know, they don't know what they want. They just look at the tide. They just look at the sea and wait for the tide. And I want to invite you who are listening to me now, who you who is already a Christian, who already knows what Jesus can do and who Jesus is, I'm asking you, be the living tide for this people. Because we have what they need, that is Jesus. We have the door they need to build the sail and escape the island, you know? And that's interesting because when we read this text that we have just read in Mark 14, we see that Jesus, and I'm talking about Jesus, you know, it's the Son of God. He was suffering, and he says, My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Jesus was in deep pain in his soul, and he just wanted company. You know, Jesus just wanted company. He just wanted his best friends to make him company. And sometimes when we find people with problems, people who are overwhelming their souls with sorrow, you know, we find these people all the time, but we are so good at gospel cliches, you know? We are so good at saying, I'm gonna pray for you. Oh, the Lord is with you. God knows all things. You know? We are good at saying cliches to these people, and what they need us to do is to be there. Just like Jesus himself wanted his friends just make company. Sometimes people are not looking for your prayer. People are not looking for powerful verses of the Bible from your mouth. They just want your company because they are in pain. They are isolated in their personal islands, sitting on the beach, staring at the sea, waiting for the tide to rise and bring them something. And we can be the living tide. We can be the living tide. And I'm telling you just to be there, because practical love heals. You know, I lost my father very early. I lost my father when I was 13 years old. And I have three daughters on my own now. On December this year, I'm about to have my fourth daughter. And man, I can tell you that every time one of my daughters hugs me, every time one of my daughters kisses me, I save hours of therapy. I save hours of therapy because practical love heals. When I grabbed my daughters for the first time, I remember seeing them and crying because my father was not there to see them. And it seemed that this was a big pain that I had in my heart. But when they grew up, and as they grow up, they show me how much practical love can heal people. You know? I'm inviting you now to practice practical love. To be there for people, to make company. You know? We live in a time that many people talk about. Fighting my place. You know, finding my own self, and everything is so selfish that we don't think about the other things. You know, when we think about the gospel and theology itself, we are all the time worried about learning the truth and listening to the truth and preaching the truth. And that's right, okay? We should pay attention to what we read. And to what we listen in terms of fighting the right and healthy theology to be following. But for us Christians, it's not enough to be biblical. We need to be missionaries. We need to be this living tide that will bring people what they need. You know? We need to be there for that. In my college studies, I found this quote from Dr. Julio Zabatiero, you know, and he said that the edification of the community can't be seen as a closed process in itself. You know, a ministry people is necessarily a missionary people, and a community that edifies itself grows not only in quality, but also in quantity. Because growing is not the target, is the middle, is the way. You know, the target is living like Jesus, but the way of living like Jesus is growing, because that's the Great Commission. Go and preach the gospel to every living, to all of the living creature, to every living creature. You know, Jesus gave only two orders to the church. Only two orders, right? It's the Holy Supper and the Great Commission. And the Great Commission, if you don't know, Mark 16:15, go preach the gospel to every living creature. Baptize them. Baptize them and tell the gospel. Go tell the gospel. You know what I mean here? I'm telling you that it's not enough for us to be biblical, but we need to be missionaries. We need to be this living tide, because there are people outside our sight field. There are people who are isolated in their own island, waiting for the tide, and we are the living tide. And I must insist that to you in this sermon, we are the living tide. We are the living tide. Why should we preach? Maybe you're asking me here now, right? The first reason of why we should be preaching, it's because our generation doesn't know Jesus. You know, we have a generation that is more about behavior and less about salvation. Proof of that is, you know, if you follow pop pastors on or pop preachers in on Instagram, and they have those question boxes that they open very often, and in these question boxes people are always asking them, what is wrong, what is right, is that sin, is that not sin? It seems like people are trying to live in heaven, but the farther they can from Jesus. It's like, I want to be in heaven, but as far as possible from Jesus. You know, people are always trying to find what's the limit between heaven and hell, to live in the limit, but in the side of heaven. Because our generation doesn't know Jesus, and they didn't learn how to love Jesus, they learned more about behavior than about salvation. And I'm telling you, we have a generation, and I made this research in my Instagram, and I want to invite you to make this research too on your Instagram. I asked the people, the non-Christians of my followers, and almost all of them said that they know the Bible, they were part of a church once, and they are opened to dialogue. So what is missing here? What are we not doing? We're not preaching. You know? We're not preaching. Because we learned that preaching is something we do at church. Oh, preacher is what the preacher does, right? The pastor in the stage with a Bible in his hand. This is preaching. But I'm telling you that is a sermon. Preaching is what we do every day to the people around us who need Jesus. That's the real preaching. And that's what I'm inviting you to do. Preach the gospel. Book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 14, say that. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him if whom they have not heard, and how shall them hear without a preacher? Look at this. How shall they hear without a preacher? How will they hear the truth if nobody preaches? Verse 15 say, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring the good news of good things. Do you understand my point here? How will they hear if nobody preaches? That's what it's saying here in the text. What we need to do is just preach. Just preach. We are the living tide. We have what they need. They are sitting on the beach staring at the sea and waiting for the tide. Waiting for the tide. And I tell you, all of us should preach the gospel. All of us should preach the gospel. There is no exception. Maybe you're telling me, you might be just like, oh, you know, I'm shy, you know. I don't know how to speak. I want to read with you other two verses in the book of Matthew chapter 10 that says, from verse 1, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Look at this. I'm telling you here in this verse. I'm reading here in this verse that Judas preached the gospel. If Judas preached the gospel, I think it means that it's not an option for us good Christians, people who love Jesus. It's not an option for us to not preach the gospel. Do you understand? It's not an option. If we love Jesus, we do that. You know, that's just obeying Jesus. Because the Great Commission is an order. It's an order. And you know, faith, that's interesting. Karl Barth said that faith without obedience, it's just like thunder without a lightning, you know? Both of them need to walk together. One is not the other, but both walk together, you know? And he said that Peter, in the sea, he wouldn't have believed if he didn't have obeyed Jesus. When Jesus said, come and walk on the water, Peter, it was an option to him just to say, no, I believe you have the power to make me walk on water, but I'll stay here. But Peter said, I'd rather sleep walking on water than spend the rest of my life wondering what if. So Peter just obeyed his order and walked, because faith and obedience walk together. I want to finish here. Today is a very short word, actually, right? But I want to finish here telling you some reasons to be a missionary. You know? Because being a missionary is the only key for a revival. This is the first thing. And you can read Romans 8 from verse 19 to 22. I won't read here because I don't want to last long here, right? But you can take notes and read later. Another reason to be a missionary is that this is the only key for the salvation of your family. And you can read Romans 9 from verse 1 to 13. Another reason is that being a missionary is the key even for being prosper, because a job, we always talk about the book of Job as a man who won And when he had his victory, his friends who had complained about him all the time had to see him being prosper again. But Job chapter 42 verse 10 says that after Job prayed for his friends, he was prospered twice as much as before. So Job's prosperity is the fruit of a merciful heart, you know, of a missionary heart. Being missionary is the only way of us being just like the heroes of faith we admire so much. For example, John Knox said, "God give me Scotland or I die." George Whitefield says, "If you don't want to give me souls, so remove my soul." John Wesley said, "You know, give me 100 men that fear nothing but sin, that fear nothing but sin and wish nothing but God, and I will shake the world." Evan Roberts said, "Please God, give me whales." So what makes us different from these heroes of faith, what makes us different from these people who changed their surroundings, who changed their generations, what makes us different is saying no. It's saying, "Okay, God, I will stay here." You know, what we need to have this birth pangs that Romans 8 says, that this generation, the creation, is suffering with birth aches, waiting for the children of God to rise. So rise, children of God, live, let's be this living tide. We believe in a God that raises the smaller people to big things. You know, David was occupied, but he said yes. Timothy was too young, but he said yes. Abraham was too old, but he said yes. Rahab was a prostitute, but she said yes. Job bankrupted, but he said yes. Peter denied Jesus, but he said yes. Elijah was a suicide, but he said that. He said yes. Jeremiah was depressive, but he said yes. Paul was a murderer, and he said yes. Matthew was corrupt, but he said yes. James slept during Jesus' pain, but he said yes. Lazarus was dead, but he said yes. That's the only difference between us and these heroes of faith. Not saying yes. I want to invite you to be this living tide for this generation. I am sure that you know people who need the tide. And if you're listening to me and you're not yet surrendered to Jesus, if you're listening to me and you don't know yet if you want to follow Jesus or not, I'm telling you, you're waiting for the tide to rise. And I hope I am this living tide for you now, because Jesus died for you too. I'm bringing you this tide that brings your door, right? That will make you sail away from this island. And I'm talking about Jesus. I believe that we can be this living tide that, beyond biblical, is missionary and is determined to shake the gates, to storm the gates of hell. Let's storm the gates of hell. Let's change this generation. Let's be the living tide. Because as we read in Mark 14, even Jesus needed company. People are there outside waiting for us to be the company, to be the tide. To go there and not only say the cliches, but to make company to them. And if you're listening to me now, and you're not in church, you're not inserted in a community, I want to invite you to follow me on Instagram. you're gonna look for at O Filho de José, right? And I don't know if you're in my city or not, probably not, because most of my listeners are not from the city, but look for me, because I will help you find a community where you're gonna feel home, okay? Look for me on Instagram, because I'll help you. I want to help you. Let me be your living tide, right? Thank you for your time, and let's be the living tide for this generation. Thank you.